on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. It always amazes me that a board and an AFL club can make all the hard decisions and sack a coach, yet it comes to reappointing a coach, it needs a safety net. Carlton has named Ange Postecoglou, Ken Sheldon, Chris Judd and recruitment specialist David Campbell as selection panel members to find the next coach. What a cop-out. None of the four will have anything to do with the Blues next year. Ange is Socceroos coach. He has plenty on his plate. No time for the Blues. Judd has told us he's not interested in any football role. He's off being an entrepreneur and running a small business. Sheldon, the former Blues champion Saints coach, will have no visible involvement. And Campbell, I suspect, will be finding a coach for another club. Surely there is enough talent at Carlton that they can put together a group from those who will be actively involved and be hands-on and be responsible for any appointment. Names like Andrew McKay, 244 games, premiership player and football manager. Stephen Silvani, 312 games, premiership player, head of list management. And Adrian Gleeson, 176 games, premiership player and current board member. Surely they're qualified to make important decisions, yet the club goes for outsiders to recommend who the next coach is going to be. Sounds pretty weak to me. I'm KB. That's my take.
Certainly, Stephen Trigg and I will play an active role behind the scenes really before the candidates get to that selection panel. But it's been certainly some time, if not at all, that a real process has been followed. So we feel with this excellent process and certainly outstanding committee that we'll choose the best candidate possible. We'll take all the time that we need, and we're not setting ourselves any time limits at this stage. The process will get underway early July, and really we're not setting any hard and fast timelines. We just need to make sure we do the best possible job around this and make sure we get it right.
Well, there's Andrew McKay, football manager. He should be on the actual committee putting his hand up. Club Carlton, just passing the buck. 9:42, 9:11, 16. I'd love to hear from Carlton fans today. 9:42, 9:11, 16. 0433 98 11 16. If you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. You can sack a coach, but you can't pick a coach. Coming up, the Buzz, Johnny Ralph is going to join us, taking your calls on all things sport. It's always your forum to fire up. We'll catch up with Frank Panisi today. Got State of Origin on tonight. Melbourne Storm in a bit of trouble as well. Rowan Dummett, of course, the US Open starts on Friday. He'll join us. He'll give you a golf lesson on radio. You can always give Rowan a call. Brian Waldron and the business of sport. I reckon Brian have plenty to say as well. Don't forget the famous quiz. 9:42, 9:11, 16 if you'd like to join us, because coming up is the Buzz.
Well, I'm a king, baby. I want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey.
On Hungry for Sport, John Ralph.
Get on for Johnny Ralph.
For Supergroups, Kubota Excavator Finance Deals on now.
That's what we always do. We get on to Johnny Ralph. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Kevin, what happened to that healthy respect for Carlton?
I've got enormous respect for Carlton.
I will grant you one point. Should the head of football be on that panel? Absolutely. But I love the point of difference. If Carlton had stacked the panel with the cronies and the backslappers and the board members of old, then they would have spat out the same result they've been doing in the last 20 years. Wouldn't have been a great result. But no one at Carlton's got a better understanding of what this club needs than Chris Judd. Kenny Sheldon's a triple...
He's not interested in football, he told us that.
He's not interested in coaching. Kenny Sheldon's a triple premiership player. He was on the panel that appointed Ross Lyon and St Kilda. Well, he is a triple premiership player.
No responsibility.
When the Dogs put their media man, Luke Darcy, on that selection panel at the Western Bulldogs, people said, well, what does he know? He's a media man. Mm. He said, hey, have you thought about this bloke, Luke Beveridge? Boom. Mm. So I agree with you. I think that Andrew McKay should be on that panel as Stephen Trigg is. But I like the point of difference. I mean, Ange Postecoglou, you could toss that one up. He's got amazing management skills. You know what it takes to build a successful culture and a successful football club.
He's popular. That's why he's there.
So you think this is a popularity contest?
Just about.
I think Carlton
Chris
has...
Chris Judd, Ange Postecoglou, popularity contest.
I've told you, this is the George Costanza rule. Carlton need to do everything that they haven't done over the last 20 years.
Okay,
if you think
no
you need to do something, you do the opposite. You actually
Did
bring
they
about...
they ask Ange Postecoglou and Chris Judd mm-hmm. and Ken Sheldon, should they sack Mick Malthouse?
No.
Why not?
Because the big decisions need to be made by the power brokers of the
club.
Well,
this is a big decision.
Yeah, which is why Stephen Trigg and Andy McKay should be on that panel.
Well, Stephen Trigg is there.
Yes, he is.
And so he should be, CEO.
So you're saying that because Chris Judd wants to be an entrepreneur... that he should not have any interest in what happens at the Carlton Football Club, despite being a captain, despite winning three best and fairest there, despite having all of the things that, a good footy person has.
Now, no care, no responsibility for this particular judgment.
Okay, so let's not even have a selection panel. Let's just go and do what Carlton's
no,
always
done.
All right,
no,
Michael Voss, you're the man. Let's just offer $8 million over 4 years to Alistair Clarkson. Oh, we can't get him. Let's throw heaps of money at Rossi Lyon, so, even if he doesn't want to do
so
the
job. So you're
job.
Telling me
yep.
that Carlton have got no one within that club who's capable of actually picking a coach for the Carlton Football Club? Well, they should all stand down.
Well,
they should all stand down. What's the point of them being there?
Well, Richmond
aren't they voted in by the members?
Richmond did it with Damien Hardwick. St Kilda did
well,
it with
was
Scott
too.
Waters. So who are you saying should be on these selection panels?
I've just told you. I mean,
the chief executive and the
people
footy...
who are going to be responsible and are going to be at the club and hold the responsibility and can support that coach that they select are at that club. Ange Postecoglou won't be there come round one. Chris Judd won't be there come round one.
But yet,
Kenny Sheldon won't be there come round one. Campbell won't be there come round one.
You know the reason that I rarely speculate on
when
who...
It gets tough, when it gets tough during the course of the year, if they start losing games, they won't be there.
So if Hawthorn,
they won't be there.
If Hawthorn had just had Ian Dicker on that selection panel, because he's the bloke that runs the club, do you reckon they ever would have unearthed Alistair Clarkson? If... St Kilda just said, righto, we'll get Andrew Plimpton or Newbold or Nettlefold or whoever it was as the CEO. Do you think they ever would have got Ross Lyon back at that football club? Actually, would have been Ross Butters back in the day. Do you think that ever would have happened? You get people from various different interests across the community, across football, and they throw up people. And sometimes those people are the best coaches. Alistair Clarkson, he will be a Hall of Fame coach. He's won three premierships on his way to a fourth. You get people in there with different skill sets who might throw them up. I do agree. At the end... the CEO and the head of football should decide who that should be. But there is a valid reason why you get people in with different interests.
It doesn't mean that if you've got Stilvani on that panel and you've got Andrew McKay on that panel and you've got Adrian Gleeson on that panel, that they may not seek some sort of input or let's go out and have a chat to somebody. But they're the ones making the decision. You haven't got a panel of people not making that decision who are not involved with that club. So you can go out there and you can source as much information as you like. That's your job because you're going to make that important decision because you are the club. I'd like to ask Carlton fans on that. I think this is a weak decision by the Carlton Football Club.
So what if they get...
no confidence in themselves, but they can sack the coach.
What I would like to ask the Carlton fans is what sort of person you want. Do you want a Johnny Barker? Do you want a Stuart Jew, who's never coached a club in his own right? Do you want a John Worsfold? I know he said no, but let's actually ask him again. Do you think you need some presence of someone with Michael Voss? Because what the Bulldogs are able to do, you say, we'll just go and pick the best man. We don't need massive profile. They pick Luke Beveridge. Would Luke Beveridge have been appointed at Carlton? Or do you need some razzmatazz? Do you need to get that membership figure from 46,000 where it has stagnated for 14 weeks? So what do the fans want? I think I think Chris Judd is still emotionally invested enough in this football club to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out and earn millions with all my business partners out there. But I still know what Carlton needs. And I'm happy to stick my hat in the ring and actually say I'm prepared to be part of this panel and give something back to Carlton.
Okay, a couple of other topics. Clarkson, of course, is keen to go on at Hawthorn.
He is, yeah.
He's out of contract, but he wants to coach the Hawks again.
He does. He's out of contract.
I reckon he'll get the job. I don't think we need a panel for that. In fact, I reckon Hawthorn Football Club themselves, with Alistair Clarkson coming out of contract, I reckon they'll make that decision themselves.
They will. But he is in contract. And again, my point to you, they didn't make that decision 11 years ago.
Why don't they go out and get a panel? Reassess it again.
They did have a panel, and it did have football people
on it.
Might
be someone better.
They did have... Well, again, I'll grant you, they did have their football director on it. They did have...
Jason Dunstall.
Yes. So my point, you get your own football people, and you get people from the outside world. I mean, Andrew McKay...
And wasn't it Dunstall who wanted Clarkson?
It was.
Right. Wasn't Dermot. He wanted Gary Ayres.
I would think that Andrew McKay might...
Or Terry Wallace.
Would Andrew McKay feel a bit slighted by that decision? I'm not sure. I mean, Andrew McKay clearly should be on that panel. Doesn't mean you don't put other people out there as well.
Stephen Silvani.
Well, Stephen Silvani's the list manager.
Yes.
Stephen Silvani's the saviour of the club.
The biggest job at the Carlton Football Club, we're told. The biggest job.
Stephen Silvani is not the head of coaches. He's not the CEO. He's not the head of football. He has got a very specific parameter there.
He's the most important person at Carlton, we're told.
Well, that might be right, because he needs to improve that list.
So if he's going to be this list management, surely he would like to know that the type of coach coming in, because... this coach coming in is going to be the coach that's going to develop all these great young players that I'm actually going to give him.
You know what Carlton has had over the years? They've had kingmakers. Stephen Silmani doesn't need to be the kingmaker. If he can get his own parameters right, if he can fix the list, that's all he needs to do. He's got to worry about recruiting his own son or not. Look, I don't
Lockie Henderson wants to know who's going to be the next coach before he signs on. Lockie's very keen to know.
Well, Lockie said, don't think that my delay is any indication that I'm leaving. All I need to do before I sign my contract is just get some good football under my belt. But by the way, I'd like to know who the coach is.
Could Lockie be on the panel? Why not have a present-day player on the panel?
Well, you might have a former player by the start of next year.
At Carlton, we hope.
Well, that's my. I don't think he'll be at Carlton next year. I don't think Carlton thinks that he'll be at Carlton next year. Hey, what I do know as well, spoke to some people the other day. I don't think that Charlie Dixon will be at Gold Coast next year. So maybe Carlton.
Where will he be?
Well, there's a lot of clubs out there that want him. The expression that was put to me was that if Charlie Dixon stays, it'll be on Gold Coast terms. And so that'll be, I don't know, $500,000 a year. There's just too many people out there that are prepared to offer him $800,000. So maybe they might get Charlie Dixon. And that's what the list manager needs to do. He doesn't need to worry about who's coaching. He doesn't need to be about being the saviour and the kingmaker. He can just go out there and get the best list out there. Now, it might be his son. It might be Jacob Wettering. It might be Francis from West Adelaide. But I don't think he needs to be on that panel. He's the only one that doesn't need to be on the panel.
As we go to the break, and we're coming back with your calls, 9429 1116. You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? If you haven't caught up with the news, the Socceroos defeated Kyrgyzstan last night in the first of our World Cup qualifiers, 2-1.
Well, that's definitely part of it. You obviously want to know where the club's going and the direction of it. So definitely part of it, but it is. It goes back to my footy again. I've got to play some good footy. So look, there's no timeline on it. There's nothing like that. It's just there's a lot going on around the club. There's a lot going on with me to try and get my footy back to where it needs to be. And we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
There's Lockie Henderson talking about his future at Carlton. Also, we've just received some sad news that Ron Clark, an absolute legend of Australian athletics, has passed away, age 78, in a Brisbane hospital. He's died of kidney failure after previously battling heart disease and, of course, set 17 world records, including 12 during a remarkable 44-day tour of Europe in 1965. As a 19-year-old, he lit the Olympic flame at the 1956 Melbourne Olympic Games. And he was a wonderful person, Ron Clark. I met Ron on a number of occasions, been in his company on a number of occasions as well. And he was a delightful individual, delightful, and one of the all-time greats of sport in this country. So and maybe condolences go out to the family.
And involved in maybe the greatest moment in Australian sportsmanship when Landy picked him up in that 56 Australian Championships.
Statue down the road here at Olympic Boulevard.
So a 19-year-old lighting that flame and the sparks were coming off him and burning him. And what a superstar. And of course he was involved in trying to get the Kangaroos to the Gold Coast and spoke to him a lot during then. A delightful bloke. Now his son Marcus is, I think, still a Carlton director or has been there recently. So condolences to the family.
9429 1116. We'll take some calls. I'll see if I can have a chat a little bit later on with Dave Colbert, because the recognition of Ron Clark and his contribution to Australian sport, particularly athletics, has been absolutely immense. Danny's in Surry Hills. G'day, Danny.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you think?
Good, Danny.
How you doing? Two things. With Carlton, they have to go outside because they've got a president you can't get rid of. Okay, you've got a CEO who's a convicted cheater, and you've got a list manager who threw the club under the bus during the salary cap rorts.
Not painting a very nice picture of Carlton there, Danny.
Well, everyone's got skeleton in the closet. So as I've always said, if the Australian Football Hall of Fame disqualified people who'd had some time in the big house or had some skeletons in their closet, it would be a pretty empty place. It'd just be you and Tucky, I reckon.
Danny, thanks for your thoughts. Blakey is in plenty. He wants to talk about Carlton. G'day, Blakey.
Kevin, mate, are you going to be taking a week off? You're going to actually do what the clubs are doing and take the bye, because if this is a dribble you're going to give us, I'll tell you what. Carlton are doing no different to what half the competition has done in kind of appointing a committee to pick a coach.
Doesn't mean it's right, Blakey.
You're the first bloke who says, well, we've gone down the pagan and Mulhouse have picked their saviour and it hasn't worked. So Carlton have done what most football experts thought they should have done a long time ago and just picked the best candidate. You had a grab that had Andrew McKay. And if you listen to
I heard him, Blakey.
He said, Kevin.
He's not on the committee, Blakey.
No, he's not, but he said he and Stephen Trigg would sort through a lot of them before it got to the committee, Kevin.
Well, why not be on the committee then, Blakey?
Kevin, you need a bye. You're talking dribble.
Blackie, you're talking rubbish, Blackie.
Well, I think that he should have been on the other end. If he's not on the committee...
You rang up, Blackie, but you've got nothing to support your argument.
Well, himself and Stephen Trigg, even if they weren't on the panel, but a recommendation went to the board and Stephen Trigg and Andrew McKay, I would think that that would be a lot better because it's easier to sort through 100 candidates. Look, there's only eight that the AFL approves themselves. There's only a handful of ex-coaches out there.
Just
so I think he needs a more active involvement.
Just because other clubs, Blackie, have gone down this track as well doesn't mean it's right, because other clubs as well have been very, very weak. Very weak, because they need a safety net, because if things go wrong, they want to say, well, you know what? World's best practices. That's a beautiful saying. We had Ange Postecoglou. Can you believe that? The coach of the Socceroos sat there. Chris Judd was on the panel. My God. You know, Kenny Sheldon, the former champ, was on the panel. My God. And we had that bloke who's from Ergon Zeron, whatever his name is, from Campbell, from some recruiting agency.
Yes, David Campbell.
World's best practices was on the panel, and we picked a dud. Not our fault.
You know what?
Not our fault.
You know what Egon Zehnder needs to do? It needs to start earning its money, because they were paid millions by the AFL to get a new chief executive. What did
they come
do?
Up with?
Gillon McLachlan. They McLachlan. Were paid hundreds of thousands or however much by Carlton to get a new chief executive. What did they do?
Won't put themselves on the line,
they
Carlton.
Went and got Stephen Trigg.
All those high flyers down at Carlton, they're running for cover. But you know what? We'll get Ange Postecoglou. Peter's from Reservoir. G'day, Pete.
Hey, fellas, how are we?
I'm going great, Pete.
Good condolences to the Clark family.
Yes, my word.
I've got two things to say to you, KB. 9 a.m. comes along and you make my blood boil. Sometimes it's better for clubs to go outside, to get outside people to make some decisions, because they're sort of neutral. They look ahead. I don't think that the Carlton people are actually capable of finding a coach, first of all. But
well, so you got no expertise down at Carlton?
No, I'm not a Carlton supporter, but I'll tell you something. If you want to bag Ange Postecoglou, why don't you look up Google, mate, and have a look at his history about clubs, about when he was at South Melbourne, from a captain to a coach, and winning two grand finals, and then Asia Cup, and coaching the Socceroos, going to Greece.
Surely he knows what makes people win games of football.
Mate, I'm his greatest fan, Pete. It's all care, no responsibility with Carlton, though.
What they need to do is ignore a couple of things. PowerPoint presentations and those 20-minute presentations where you say, this is my idea of the club. They actually need to get a gut feel for the person. Now, what Adelaide did is they said, righto, Phil Walsh, you break down a game for us. And he said, I don't need a day to think about it. I'll do it right now. And he was wowed by that. Luke Beveridge was very similar. In fact, to be honest, they probably picked Luke Beveridge before he even did an interview. Mm. And so you go on a gut feel. You go on what you know to be this bloke's DNA, coaching DNA. You don't worry about PowerPoint presentations or Damien Hardwick's failed PowerPoint because the computer didn't work.
What's happening with Jack Silvani, the young boy who kicked 6 goals last weekend under father and son at Carlton?
Well, here's what they would have wanted to happen. Jack Silvani flies under the radar, just gives a couple of encouraging performances. They go and use their third round pick on him, which is effectively nothing. And then in the next few years, he grows up into a star. Mm-hmm. Here's what has happened. He has kicked 6 goals for Victoria Metro against a very weak WA side. A lot of clubs out there are saying, look, he's one of the very few key tools who can play forward and back. Geez, we might just throw a first round pick at him. And now Carlton will have to make a huge decision on whether they match that. Now, it's the worst case scenario, because under this new bidding system, which has only just come in this year, they might have to...
Would they match it?
They'd have to. They'd absolutely have to match it. You can't allow a bloke who could potentially be a key defender, who could potentially be a key forward, to go to another club. Absolutely no chance they could not match it. And so maybe a club out there who might be a bit of a smart ass might say, okay, we're just going to throw up a pick that we don't think Carlton can match, but they probably have to. And so it might mean that they might have to give up a second round pick and a third round pick for him. Now, of course, they're not going to have to give up their first or second pick, because we know that no one's going to be able to get in and match it before them. They're going to finish on the wooden as the wooden spooner. But they wanted to get him cheap. I don't think that's going to happen. And the worst part is that Stephen Silvani, who's being paid good money, isn't involved in it. So the bloke they've brought in to overhaul
has him. Has he stepped aside from his any position on his son?
Yeah, so Tom Petrori is his manager. Tom has already said that when Carlton calls about Jack Silvani, it is Andrew McKay. So Andrew McKay is calling about Jack Silvani, even though Stephen Silvani is in the next room preparing his dinner or making his sandwiches for school. and yet he's not really allowed to be involved in that process.
So they're saying he can't make a decision on his son. He's too conflicted.
The day that he arrived at Carlton, he said, I will make no decisions on it. It will be Stephen Trigg and Andrew McKay. So there you are. They'll be kept busy with a decision on Jack Sulman.
Haven't they gone out to get Andrew to do that? Or
well,
Chris Judd?
And Andrew Postecoglou is behind you in Fox Footy. Now, maybe that Carlton curse might have affected the Socceroos, Kevin. Now, they did win.
They won 2-1.
They did win, but it was a hard one thing.
You had an axe scored and Tommy Orr scored.
They did. And the Kazakhstani goal was only in the last minute or so.
Kyrgyzstani
goal. Sorry, Kevin. But maybe the Carlton curse might have just invaded it. Watch this space.
We'll take a break. I've got Sports Central coming up. We'll take more of your calls. Lots to talk about. I've got a host of topics I want to throw here at the Buzz. Welcome back. 22 minutes to 10. The Buzz has joined us. Just before we go back to our callers, Aaron Black is, what, off to Frio? Very keen to get Aaron Black from North Melbourne?
Well, that's what Jay Clark wrote. He's played one game for North Melbourne this year. The problem for
makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, the problem for North is when you top up and you go for it, players like Aaron Black don't get a crack. And so he might go to Fremantle and be a great player, but you'd think that Drew Petrie's got maybe 1-2 years left. Jared Waite hasn't got long
left.
But
he doesn't want to wait 2 years.
No, I agree, but it's a list management issue for them in that he goes and plays great football. They need him in 2 years, but they don't need him now. I think players like Aaron Black, and look, I wrote about Zach Smith to Essendon. Blokes don't want to sit there and wait for 2 years in the VFL or the NEFL. They just want to play football. So I reckon both of those blokes on the move.
Daniel Kerr says he's been a nice addict.
He has.
Stuffed up his life.
Well, it's great that he's finally admitted it. He said that, yes, I have taken it. He said the last time I was partying, I was the oldest bloke in the room by 10 years, and it just made me realise how sad I was. He's confirmed that his mum not only wouldn't bail him when he was in prison, but called all of his friends and said, don't bail this bloke. He needs a reality check. And so, look, the first step to confronting your addiction is to actually admit it. So it's a big step for Daniel Kerr.
And also, Matthew Dellavedova, there's talk that they're going to make a movie, a Dollywood, Hollywood movie on Matthew Dellavedova and his exploits, of course, with Cleveland. I would have thought that there would have been a lot more other Australian sports stars that they could make a movie about before they decide to make one on Matthew Dellavedova. I think we're all thrilled with what Dally has done playing for the Cavs in this game 6 on today.
Yep.
But I don't know whether he's done enough to actually make a movie. So I'd like to ask the fans, I mean, if there was to be a movie made about an Australian sports star, I mean, Ron Clark can make a great movie. Unfortunately, for those who haven't heard the news, sadly has passed away today at 78 years of age. But surely there's a heap of Australians out there that you could actually make a movie ahead of Matthew Dellavedova.
Well, Andrew Gaze always says to us, look at me, Seton Hall, you know, son of a gun. I did everything out there. So Andrew Gaze is very keen for a movie to be made about him. He's got the ring, even though he did stuff all to achieve it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Give us
your
calls.
Ask the fans. Give us a call and tell us 942-9-1-16 or 0433-98-1-16 if there was going to be a movie made about an Australian sports star. Who should that movie be about?
And I see Essendon on Fox Sports News behind us trailing off last week. Would you watch a movie about Essendon, The Rags to Riches? I'm fascinated by the Essendon books. Chip Legrand's writing one, Josh Masood. I think there might even be a third. Is there a real appetite for that? Or are people totally sick of it? Or if you can just get, as we've seen with The Killing Season, the Labor drama, are you fascinated by the behind-the-scenes dramas?
Frank Panisi is going to join us after 10 o'clock too. Interested to have a chat to Frank because I'm very disappointed that Billy Slater is making himself available for State of Origin because it seems to me that Billy is keener to be a State of Origin player rather than win a premiership for Melbourne Storm. I don't understand Billy Slater with a crooked shoulder going out playing with all the stories suggesting that if he gets one heavy knock, it could be the end of the season for Billy Slater.
More than that.
He's either a Melbourne Storm player or he plays for State of Origin. Well, surely he's a Melbourne Storm player.
Well, Nick Smart tells us in the Herald Sun today, he says it's almost certain that this is his last game, that he will play State of Origin, hopefully win it for Queensland, and then he will have that surgery. It stuns me. I mean, when Cooper Cronk went down with that knee injury, you know, he could hardly walk. Oh, mate, I'll be fine for Origin too. And then it turned out he had a meniscus tear, and he still wouldn't rule himself out. Look, I think it's great that they've got State of Origin. We're going to love it tonight.
It's taken over the competition.
But it is. Blokes want to win State of Origin more than they want to win an NRL title. It just stuns me. When we saw one injury, when we saw a PCL to Josh Fraser, wasn't it? That was the end of State of Origin because blokes said, I don't want to put my players up. And yet these blokes, it just, what if Billy Slater ripped it out of his shoulder capsule, did long-lasting damage? Oh, it doesn't matter because I got to play in a State of Origin game. It stuns me.
Steve joins us in Wye River. G'day, Steve.
Hi, Kev, John. I just heard on another station about a few weeks back that a few weeks ago there was a reunion of the 1995 Carlton premiership, and only two players didn't attend, and that was Pierce and Silvani. I was just wondering, it said that Stephen Silvani had a prior family function on. A 20-year anniversary of the premiership team, and during the week, must have been some family function. I think he would, in his position that he's got at Carlton, he would have been first there, laying out the plan and the maps and everything. Do you think there's anything sinister there?
Well, that was the suggestion. I think Stephen said through the club he had his mother-in-law's birthday. I would have thought he would have been there. I don't think there's any lingering discontent with the paper bag.
It's hard to miss the birthday of the mother-in-law.
Well, it depends how strong your mother-in-law is. I would have thought he would have been there.
Was it on the same night?
It wasn't the same night.
Oh, well.
I think it was a Thursday
or a
Wednesday.
Fair reason.
No, I know. I mean, some players would say that nothing I would ever do. I'd almost miss the birth of my second child or my first child if I could still get to that reunion. It seemed bizarre to me.
Could be another 20 years before they have another reunion, I suppose.
Yeah.
The birthday could be the following year. But you do these things for your mother-in-law. Ross is in Heidelberg. G'day, Ross.
Hi, Paul. First of all, condolences to the Clark family as well. Ron's death is untimely because he was a big part of getting the Commonwealth Games to the Gold Coast, and he would have been very proud to have seen the games actually played out himself. So a big best wishes to the Clark family.
And his father, Tom, played football for the Bombers, and of course his brother, Jack, was a champion with the Bombers.
He was. Hey, we're getting a couple of great nominations for movies off the SMS. The Anna Mears story. Nearly lost her life, or nearly was paraplegic after a fall in Los Angeles and came back 6 or 8 months later and won silver. Adam Scott, the Master of Augusta. A couple of great ones.
Okay, ahead of Dellavedova. Ross, your other point?
Yeah, KB, I just want to support you 100% in what you were saying. How the football manager is not on the panel to choose a coach is just bewildering. And I think you would agree, Kev, I don't mind one of this group that they've put up to be on the panel, but the majority should be Carlton Club people and staff.
Okay, appreciate that, Ross. We'll take a break. Ralphie's buzzer beater is coming up as well. Plus, we'll take more of your calls. Don't forget, the buzz is always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors. Now, for the month of June, Eco Garage Doors are going to be donating $200, that's right, $200, from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. Now, we've all got a charity close to our hearts or a local sporting club, so it's your choice, and Eco will send $200 on your behalf. So give Eco a call for a free quote. 9703 1500, or visit them online at www.ecogaragedoors.com.au.
On Hungry for Sports, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? Find out if it made Ralphie's buzzer beater.
Oh yes, the buzzer beater, of course. You've been right on the mark as well with your buzzer beater and your predictions.
I've picked a little bit of low-hanging fruit this week. There can only be one buzzer beater.
Yes.
Joey, who, of course, your producer, who has lost 6 kilograms. He's looking magnificent. He tries to fight into the ones. Joey, give us the audio.
St Kilda desperate. Great take that time by Loney. Gives the ball across. Stevens continues to run. He kicks the ball down. Goes over the head of Matenda! Kicks the goal! Matenda has kicked the goal for St Kilda! It went to the back of the pack. And Matenda has swooped. And St Kilda in front.
You haven't lost it, Kevin.
So he's the buzzer beater.
Well, he's the buzzer beater, of course, because he kicks the goal. But yes. I love what he's done at this football club. So by all accounts, Nick Riewoldt wasn't on the track very much over the summer. David King says that Montagna was just massive with the teaching of the young group. And then in round one, he wasn't right with the meniscus, but he was so determined to play that it probably set him back a month because he knew he wanted to play with Nick Riewoldt, whose sister had passed away. And then after Nick Riewoldt spends a week promoting the charity of his fallen sister, his good mate comes out and kicks the winning goal. I just love everything about what these two blokes have done. Nick Riewoldt could have gone to Collingwood. Lee Montagna could have gone to Essendon. They could be sooking because, we're never going to win a flag, mate. The bounce of the ball. And instead, they're just manning up and doing amazing things for that club. Well done, boys.
Yes, he's a terrific player, Lee Montagna. And I agree with you. They've stuck around St Kilda and they're prepared to do the hard yards and to help St Kilda become a a strong club again and maybe play finals, even in the time they've got left in the game. So that was, I don't think you can beat that as a buzzer beater,
no.
Because it was the true buzzer beater. Of course, early in the year, your prediction was that also that Collingwood would finish in the top four. Now they're fourth at the moment going into the bye this weekend.
Yeah. And their injury list is improving. And again, I'm not saying they're going to win a flag. I just think that there's something there and they knocked over GWS before the injuries hit GWS. I still thought they were great. Hey, my prediction this week is somewhat linked to Lee Montagna. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been a tough couple of days for Jimmy Tumpas because he was the man that should have manned him up. But I reckon Jimmy Tumpas might just make it. Now, I think most Melbourne fans had written him off. We could have had Ollie Wines. Instead, we got Jimmy the Tump. And yet, Jimmy Tumpas has had a pretty okay last few weeks. So he might not be a star. He might not be Ollie Wines. But if you get 150 games out of Jimmy Tumpas, I just think that by the end of the year, we might think that this guy's just got a little bit in him.
Ask John how he failed to give Taylor Adams a vote, who had 36 disposals, then gave 3 votes to a player from a team that lost by 7 goals.
If you drill into it, Taylor Adams went at 50%. Now, Scotty Pendlebury went at 85%, so I gave him 1 vote. I gave Nathan Brown 2 votes, who I thought did a massive job on Jeremy Cameron. And Dylan Shield, for me, when the game was there to be won, he had 21 touches at halftime. He was clearly the best player on the field. Now, if you look at the coaches' votes, both coaches gave Marley Williams 5. Now, I thought Marley was good, but I didn't have him in my votes. So maybe they look at him and said, look, he played a role. Maybe I was wrong. You know, I've been wrong a heap of times before. I just think Taylor Adams, to be a great player, he's got to tidy up his disposal. Because if you go at 50%, that's not good enough for an AFL player. He's coming on. He's still got some work to do.
And also, we heard the news that Shane Mumford is out for the rest of the season, along with Daisy Thomas is out for Carlton as well. But Mumford is the important one because without Mumford, I can't see how the Giants can play finals.
No, I agree. They've got some young GWS defenders. I've got, I think, Ahern and Marchbank and a few others that can slot in there. But you can't replace Mummy. You can't replace that intangible. You can't replace the tackling, the hit-outs to advantage. They go up against Todd Goldstein this week, which is just another reminder of how tough it's going to be without him. They got Phillips there. Maybe they could have done with Giles. Essendon doesn't
know. Jonathan Giles, no. Mid-season. Why did Essendon recruit Jonathan Giles?
Well, I suppose as backup. But if you won't play the backup to the backup to the backup, which is Bell Chambers' backup, which is
Carlisle.
Or even Sean McKernan. So he's probably 59 for the ruck and they still won't play him.
That was a waste.
It was. And it was only pick 53 and they got back 67 or something. So it wasn't a lot, but it's a spot in your list.
Just as we go to the break, also there's some good news for Daniel Menzel. The Geelong player, of course, has had 4 knee reconstructions.
Yes.
He's back training pretty well and they now expect that he's going to be playing within a month. So that would be an amazing comeback. We've got our fingers crossed for Daniel Menzel that he can actually come back, because I've got a feeling, was his last game when he, last senior game when he kicked, was it 4 or 5
yep.
goals in a final?
Was it the 2011 prelim? We still remember it vividly on that outer wing
starring.
There, his knee buckled. People will tell us if it wasn't 2011. He's got one thing, and it's self-belief. People who talk to him say he still thinks he can come back and be an exceptional AFL player. Now, that's not arrogance. That's just belief that you need.
You've got to have it after 4.
Yeah, to come back from 4.
New Ricos. We'll take a break. We're coming back with The Buzz and more of your calls, 9429-1116. What's on your mind in sport? Don't forget, Buzz is always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors. Always give him a call on 9703-1500.
Roving, being done by Barco, in the goal square, mark taken, goal kicked, and the Cats are on the board, and it's Daniel Menzel who gets the first one for Geelong.
And then gets it deep and probing, Podsy Adley, Menzel!
See, that's a good mark.
Menzel comes in from 35 metres on the 45 degree angle, and that is a beautiful kick.
Yeah, so good news, Daniel Menzel, maybe within about a month's time,
yep.
can be back playing football. That was from the qualifying final back in 2011. Thanks to all those who sent through the SMSs. Qualifying final against Hawthorn and hasn't played a senior game since. Sad news on Ron Clark passing away. I can remember going down to Olympic Park after work one night as a kid, and he ran Olympic Park. It was packed.
Mm.
Athletics was huge, and Ron
yep.
Clark, I think that night broke either the 5,000 or the 10,000 metre world record that night at Olympic Park, and it must have been, who knows, 25,000 people down there.
Yep.
It was a magic moment. So
packed a fair bit into 7 or 8 years, didn't he?
Great deal of sadness, the passing of Ron Clark. Thanks, Buzz.
See you tomorrow.
Coming up, Frank Panisi.